Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are going through the Constitution, and we're losing time. As you know, it's now or never. And so what we need to do is we need to understand all the parts of the Constitution. That's why we're going through it, even the amendments, so that you can see how the Constitution is being violated. After we're all done and said, we'll get a color-coded map of the Constitution up on the website. That way you'll be able to see for yourself exactly what parts of the Constitution are being violated. And then we're going to have another version of the Constitution where we're going to highlight the parts that are being violated and highlighting the parts that we can petition our county commissioners, county supervisors to do their job so that they can go up to the state legislature, governor, or whomever, and hold them accountable. Because they're the ones, the state legislators are the ones that are supposed to be guarding our liberties. They're supposed to be overseeing what the federal government is doing. And we've gone through all of this. This is why we're continuing to enlighten all of you on what we have to do. So, as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We're getting close to the election. The problem is we still don't have enough candidates. I mean, if you voted for conservative candidates, you will see how you've lost, because conservative candidates do not understand the entirety and the importance of enforcing the entire Constitution. There's too many things that they completely miss. What they try to focus on are the few things that you ask them to focus on. You can't blame them for that. But what's more important, you don't demand that they have a full comprehensive understanding of this Constitution, the one thing that they're supposed to support, the one thing that they're legally obligated to actually support, the one thing that they have to do. They don't have to do anything else but support that document. And when it comes down to it, oh, should they do, you know, something, you know, like administrative stuff, or should they support the Constitution because it's being violated? The priority must go to supporting the Constitution. This is why I cannot understand why no dark red state legislature has not demanded and gone into a complete emergency session to take on the federal government. It's because we've been bamboozled into accepting, and now everybody's just pulling their hair out trying to figure out, well, what's the problem? Why can't we get, oh, well, we need a convention of states. No, folks, a convention of states doesn't fix the problem. It actually makes it worse, or it will end our pathway being able to come back and restore this constitutional republic, or reclaim this constitutional republic, however you want to state it, hybrid constitutional republic. So anyway, as we plow forward, because I don't want to go into, you know, I could lecture more and I could give you my frustrations, because I get so frustrated. We're right now on the fifth article, it's the seventh article, but it's the Fifth Amendment. And so this is where the very first part of this is really interesting, because when you look at people that are going and getting arrested and going to, you know, crime and jail and so forth, this is the one thing that doesn't happen that much anymore. And it says, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime. In other words, a felony. At least I mispronounced it twice, right? A felony that is severe, such as rape or any of these types of things. I mean, they arrest somebody, they've got evidence of what have you, but how many times have you seen this part go? Unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service of time of war or public danger. So right there, everybody has this right to actually have a grand jury go through the evidence before you're arrested and be held for this capital crime, before you go to trial. Did you know that? Did you know that if you've supposedly, you know, committed an infamous crime, then you have this right of that a grand jury has to convene and indict you first. They have to do it. This gives you a double shot at a trial, especially if you're being railroaded. How many of the people on January 6th actually had a true grand jury? Now, we're not talking about a Washington, D.C. grand jury. We're talking about a grand jury based on the vicinage of the individual. In other words, if it's in Montana, that grand jury should meet and must meet in Montana. It doesn't matter if it's a federal law or not. You have a right. We'll get into that. A jury by your peers. And so what they do, and as a matter of fact, they talked about this. We actually talked about this in the ratification debates, where they didn't want people whisked off over to D.C. They wanted to make sure that they had, you know, some reasonable support from an out-of-control government that's using its avarice and its power to oppress and actually suppress and go after people and make victims out of them. Anyway, so as we go through this, nor shall any person be subject for the same offenses to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. So the first part includes double jeopardy. You have a right that you can't be tried for the same thing twice. And you, in a criminal case, you cannot be a witness against yourself, or you actually can deny answering testimony. I plead the fifth. That's all you have to do. You don't have to say on the grounds it may incriminate me. No, I plead the fifth. I have a right not to have to answer these questions. The Constitution guarantees me this right. You don't have to say on grounds that, you know, when you listen to that, and when you've seen overreach by Congress, when they've actually had people and the people keep on inciting the fifth, and they say on grounds that I don't have to incriminate myself or what have you, they do that to make you look bad. This is a constitutional and inalienable right. If you are in a process of being charged with a crime, you don't have to be a witness against yourself. You just invoke your right not to have to be a witness, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Now, this line right here, for whatever reason, had to be duplicated in the 14th Amendment, and I have no understanding why, because it is literally just that. It was unnecessary, because when you already is in the sentence before, we get to the 14th Amendment, I'm going to bring this up, but the sentence before talks about the privileges and immunities, that they can't be abridged. This is a privilege. We have a right to not lose any life, limb, property, or anything without due process. That right gets applied by that little sentence. No state shall make or abridge any law that protects the privileges and immunities of a U.S. citizen. And period. Then that means that this right of due process is applied. Sometimes when I look at some of the amendments and why they inserted these things for duplicity or what have you, it just doesn't make sense, other than the fact that I think they didn't understand that it was already there and it already is applied because of it being in the Fifth Amendment. Anyway, the last part of this, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Folks, where do they have a right to take your property, sell it, and make money off of selling your property? They can't take your property without just compensation. Now, there may be some amendment out there that I'm not aware of that says, oh, well, we can go down this path and we can do this. I really don't think so. And as a matter of fact, I challenge anybody to give me that amendment that allows the government to actually seize your property and sell it. It's that simple. I don't see it here. nor do I see it in any other amendment. But, you know, I could be wrong. I'm human, right? I could make mistakes. On these types of things, I really could be making a mistake here. So if you know where that amendment or that authority comes from, but right here it says that you without just compensation. In other words, they can't do it unless they compensate you. Okay, so the Article of the Eighth, or what we call the Sixth Amendment, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy trial and public trial. Now, hold on here. Why is it that we're not seeing, you know, we're seeing January 6th, but we're not seeing these kangaroo courts that the federal government has created against these people that they're claiming were insurrectionists? Are you kidding me? So these people had a right. They have a right that they're being denied to want a speedy trial because it's 2 years. It's going on. We're going to be hitting 2 years this January. Actually, sometime next year, 2 years of their anniversary of being arrested. That, I'm telling you, folks, if you get taken, just imagine this, because, you know, I get people that come up to me and ask me about about being stationed away from my family for a whole year on Okinawa or out on the sea, and they say, wow, that must be really, really hard. Well, just imagine what these patriots have, what's happened to them because they can't have any contact with loved ones. We'll be right back. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about is that we really could do with getting rid of everybody in the public service. I mean, none of them have the Tesla fortitude. None of them have done anything right. And the only thing that they're doing right is they're doing the bidding. They're shills. They're doing the bidding for the lobbyists and those people. In all honesty, we would be better off getting rid of everybody, even those quasi-good ones in Congress, than allowing any of these people to be reinstated. Like I said, I don't know anyone, not even Ted Cruz, not even Rand Paul, that deserves to actually be, you know, brought back. They're not championing the full Constitution. I mean, they give lip service to the Constitution. You know that old scripture, with their mouths they do honor me, but with their hearts they've removed them from me? Anyway. So all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Now, they're saying that because it was in D.C., they can whisk them off. But I am telling you that D.C. is, this is inappropriate. Which district shall have been previously ascertained by law? And as a matter of fact, see, I honestly think that the states should have actually told the federal government, you have to get a court, what do you call that, a warrant from a judge of this state. The states really need to literally pick up their, you know, gird up their loins and pick up their weapons and actually come up to the state or the federal government and say, sorry, you cannot, we're not going to sit idly by and watch you come after our people who had constitutional rights. And more importantly, you're now violating their constitutional rights. Prove that this was actually an insurrection and not a First Amendment petition. And they can't prove that. And bottom line, where is the grand jury indictment for this infamous crime? They don't have them. As a matter of fact, it's all been concocted, and everybody, it's a part of the deep state. So anyway, this is why I say the states absolutely need to make sure that these crimes are not being railroaded, you know, out of one little court where they can just start rubber stamping and convicting. And actually what they're doing is they're getting these people to break down and confessing to a lesser crime, but confessing to equally that similar crime with a reduced sentence. And all they're doing is they're trying to create this pathway to make it easier and easier to come after people who are calling out the government for violating the Constitution. You see, they're saying we're insurrecting against the government, but there's no such thing in the Constitution. Check the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment has nothing to do with an insurrection against the government. It has an insurrection against the Constitution. Of course, an unconstitutional government would call it an insurrection if you're coming after them and holding them accountable to this thing that they're not abiding by. They don't want to abide by it. And why is that? Because they have so much more room and latitude to do all of the evil things that they plan on doing. These people have no desire, no compunction to actually, you know, get out and do the right things and promote enlightenment, promote liberty. No. It's all about control. And the ends justify the means. Okay, so anyway, they go on here, and shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed by the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. So the ninth, you know, this just chafes my backside to no end to see, you know, these rights that we have and the intent behind these. Because the ratification debates, like I said, they were very concerned about being whisked into Washington, D.C. Now, why is it that nobody has been, you know, arrested for property damage, for deaths, for murders, and what have you? I mean, how many times have we seen protests, the Rodney King protest, what have you? We've seen people actually killed. And where is the justice on, you know, all of this riotous or civil disobedience? What these people did, and even though they're saying that they had no right to break into the Capitol, more importantly, the Capitol had no right to lock itself down. The Constitution in the very first article requires that they be accessible to the people for a First Amendment petition, that that right cannot be abridged, period. Okay, so the Seventh Amendment, in suits at common law, which means this is the injection and the first time you see this term common law. Based on the states themselves, the states were to determine what type of law they were going to uphold and practice. And so every state in the union, except for Louisiana, chose common law. Now, I'm telling you, your state doesn't use common law anymore. They've actually basically walked away from it and have started using and embracing civil law and admiralty law. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. Now, here's the question. If you have a traffic citation, that would be considered a common law suit, where if your fine is the excessive or exceeds $20, you have a right to demand a jury of trial, a trial by jury, I mean. Now, they've done everything they can to say, oh, well, we don't have to do that now. But where's the amendment that says they don't? Because this amendment right here says that they do. And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Folks, if you understand how much common law protects us, we better start demanding. This is why creating constitutional counties and getting your county supervisors, your county commissioners to embrace the Constitution and constitutional enforcement, because this will help them understand that they have to reestablish common laws in their county. Okay, the eighth, this is another violation, or I should say that January 6th, these poor people that are held in jail, excessive bail shall not be required or excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. The terrorists at Gitmo have been treated better than these people. These poorly, these people that have nothing but trumped up charges coming after them. The eighth article, the ninth amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So in other words, even though there may be this right or this enumeration in the Constitution that they can do something that cannot be construed to deny or disparage other rights that we have retained by the people. And, what do you do when you have a government, the federal government, that is absolutely, they will not bend, they're not going to listen? Then if you're not getting your county and getting your state ready to take that stand, then my fear is that, they're gonna come after the onesies or twosies if somebody is dumb enough to actually, instead of waiting and coalescing the states and uniting the states, if somebody's dumb enough, like they want to go nullify or what have you, want to go rogue, you can't do that. This is why when we go through the resolutions and Madison's report and Madison's notes on nullification, this is why we really understand why it's so important that the states unify and work together as they get ready to take on the federal government. You don't just do it onesie by twosie, because they have so many standing armies to basically wage war against you. It's ridiculous. Okay, so the 10th and final amendment, and this is almost like, okay, it's stating the obvious. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And then this, the Bill of Rights got signed and basically sent off to all of the states. And you know the rest of the story, that the first 10, or actually the last 10, were the ones that were ratified in the Bill of Rights, and the second one was ratified as the 27th Amendment. And so as we start looking, oh, well, I don't have enough time to get into the next segment, or we'll be going into the next segment. So when we come back, we're going to pick up the 11th Amendment so that you kind of understand why all of this stuff is important. We're going to get into the whole fact that the amendment process is the only way you can modify anything in the Constitution. They can't create a regulation. They have to amend the Constitution. They can't make statutes. It must be an amendment. We'll be right back. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so one of the things I have to emphasize, and I really do need to emphasize this, is the fact that when it comes time to make a change, you can't just create a statute. And a good example of that would be the 12th Amendment. When they made changes regarding the Electoral College and the process, they created an amendment. They did not create a statute. Well, today, look at all the stuff that they're doing, and why is it that for the Electoral College, they're just creating these rules, statutes, and regulations? They have no authority to do that. The only way you can actually dictate that the parties will be able to choose the electors is by an amendment. Because currently the Constitution requires that you, the people, have a right to choose your representative in this Republican form of government to choose your president, not the party's president. Ah, this is why you hear me say we have a party form of government. We do not have a Republican form of government. And it really just shocks me to no end to really see how we constantly allow the parties to just run rickshaw over us. So let's get into the 11th Amendment. This was proposed in 1794. Now, as you know, the Bill of Rights were ratified in, I want to say it was 1791. Let me see here. Hold on a quick second. I've got it right up top here. Presented, and the Bill of Rights ratified in 1792. Is that right, 17? Because the Second Amendment was ratified as the 27th, yeah, that's correct, in 1992. And I believe it was 1791, sorry. And so a couple of years later, just a couple of years down the road, the states already saw the grubby little hands of the court system kind of coming into their knickers saying, hold on here. We missed something here, and we want to change and reel back the federal government's ability to get into our knickers in legal cases. And so this is the amendment. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the states by citizens of another state or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state. That simple. That means that they can't get involved in, you know, these cross-state types of lawsuits, period. And so what do? They completely ignore this. As a matter of fact, some people say that they use the 14th Amendment to try to change this, but the 14th Amendment doesn't say anywhere where they have the ability to actually inject themselves in, you know, in cases from one person that's not in a state to a person that's in. You know, like we've seen with Trump, when Trump was in office, there were people that were traveling from one state to go to Hawaii or into a court that they knew would be friendly to put a stay on some of Trump's immigration and some of the efforts that Trump did. And so that right there, they were seeking a federal court, which actually violated the 11th Amendment, because here's a person coming in from one state that had nothing to do with the lawsuit of that state. It was literally a violation of the 11th Amendment by a person going from California or Washington into Hawaii or what have you. And so we went through the 12th Amendment. We went through this, I think, in good detail, and I would ask you to, if you don't understand the Electoral College, the 12th Amendment really clarifies everything, and it helps you understand that I'm going to go through the final part of the choosing and the selection, and it goes like this, that the, and if no person have such majority, then from the person having the highest numbers not exceeding 3 on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. But in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by states, the representation from each state having 1 vote. A quorum for this shall consist of a member or members from 2/3 of the states, and a majority of the states shall be necessary to a choice. And if the House of Representatives shall not choose a president whenever the right choice shall devolve upon them before the 4th day of March next following, then the vice president shall act as president. That's basically determining whether they actually chose a vice president. But see, in the way they're wrongfully executing the Electoral College, the vice president and president are the same ticket. It's the same vote. But the Constitution requires that they actually be voted for separately. So anyway, the person, and it doesn't mean that they can't follow the ticket if they really wanted to, but they don't have to. The Constitution does not require them. They have the ability. There's nothing there that says you have to accept the party primaries. The person having the greatest number of votes as vice president shall be the president if such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. And if no person have a majority, then from the two highest numbers on the list, the Senate shall choose the vice president. So if you still don't have a vice president, then the Senate shall choose a vice president. A quorum for the purpose shall consist of 2/3 of the whole number of senators, and a majority of the whole number shall be necessary to choose to a choice. But no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president of the United States, which means that Kamala Harris cannot be the vice president of the United States. It's that simple. Our friends Douglas V. Gibbs down in California, they had basically petitioned the court to prove that she was not eligible. And, of course, the courts wouldn't hear from them. So folks, we've got a government that has completely turned their backs on the Constitution. So why is it that, you know, we feel good when somebody goes, oh, we're suing them. Like we watch Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch. They're constantly spending. Well, that's because they're lawyers. And this is because, you know, they're a part of the racket. But there's no way we'll ever. I mean, they may be able to pick some scabs. They may be able to heal a wound or two. But bottom line, we will never fix the problems through the court system. Madison even saw that. And that's why he warned us to stay out of the court system. Now, this next amendment is the real 13th Amendment that actually was ratified. We have the book that actually points out that this book was this in 1880s. I believe it was 17, maybe it was 1778. Either way, it was in Wyoming, compiled laws of the state of Wyoming, and it included the Constitution, and it included this amendment. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present, pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding office of trust or profit under them or either of them. Now, how many people that have come here from Arab nations that are actually receiving emoluments as U.S. citizens from, you know, the prince of Saudi Arabia or what have you, from any of the royalties of these United Emirates or what have you, right? That's happening, folks. I mean, it's probably more prevalent in the Islamic groups in America than it is in the Anglo-Saxon or in the Western society monarchies. And it's probably happening even more under the empire, or I should say the President Xi and the Chinese Communist Party and so forth. Does it matter if it is the all-powerful eminence of China, of the Chinese Communist power, or the Chinese Communist Party? Does that make sense? In other words, what's the difference between any foreign state that comes along? Because actually, I think they even pulled this out of here that says, or foreign power. They don't even have to be of royalty. Any foreign power that is providing anybody that's making money from a foreign nation is receiving an emolument of some kind. And so what it says here, such person shall cease to be a citizen and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. Here's the interesting thing and why this conveniently went away. When the Bar Association from England came in, when it actually became established, in the United States, sorry about that little alarm, when they actually established the Bar Association, what they did was they created a foreign, because it's foreign, the Bar Association is ran by Britain. And so it's not a U.S. originated and formed and so forth. And so all these people that became esquires as lawyers as a part of the Bar Association, once they passed the bar, then they start receiving an emolument or a title of esquire, which means that they cannot be a public servant. And so, anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we were just covering in the 13th Amendment, now, so this is the original 13th Amendment. This isn't the 13th Amendment that got passed much later on. So this is a big one, folks, because how many lawyers and how many people involved in law are involved in our government? So it kind of makes it hard for anybody that's a part of the Bar Association to be involved in any of the legal. I mean, all of judges are, elected officials, right? They're public servants. You can't have a judge that's a part of the Bar Association. Many people, and I remember in Wyoming, in one of the races, there were lots of people that were chanting for specific law. If you're a lawyer, they said, hey, you've got to denounce and remove yourself, revoke your membership to the American Bar Association, the ABA. And so, if you understand, because what this does is it forces people to have a loyalty in addition to this corruption of our legal system, of how they've moved us from common law into civil law, but it also requires that they take an oath to their loyalty to the bar. It's one thing to be loyal to the Constitution if you're involved in law, but to be loyal to a sub-organization that has its own agenda. I mean, the Bar Association tries to protect themselves, but as far as I'm concerned, this amendment, they have no protection from this amendment. They would become obsolete, and America shouldn't be playing in the Bar Association. It's really that simple. And just so you know, as we start uncovering and to start going down this path,
this will be one of those amendments that will actually be put up on the table and say, we can't take this off. It's actually ratified. We have evidence that it was a part of the law back in the 1870s, 1880s. Anyway, how did it just go away? That's another interesting story, but I really don't care. Now that we've proven its legitimacy, we now have 28 amendments. So the next amendment that I'm going to read is an amendment that actually never passed, but it was signed by President Lincoln, signed by him. And, you know, that's interesting because presidents don't have to sign. This was actually an olive branch by President Lincoln just coming into office. It was proposed in 1861, so he was just coming into office, and he offered this amendment to the South. And what it would have done, it would have galvanized this slavery as an institution into America forever. This is what it says. No amendment shall be made to the Constitution which will authorize or give to Congress the power to abolish or interfere with any state with the domestic institutions thereof, including that of persons held to labor or service by the laws of said states. So that law was never passed. As a matter of fact, if you really look at these people that claimed that were chattel, I mean, this amendment would have needed to pass for that to happen. And so the next amendment that actually did pass, which is the 14th Amendment that you called the 13th Amendment, Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime, wherever the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, this is the first time you read this, by the way. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So when you see that word enforce, that doesn't mean that Congress is going to get guns and Congress isn't going to go out and make this, you know, this gallant arrest or anything like that. They have the power to create the legislation to how to enforce and the statutes or what have you that are congruent with this particular law. Now, what happened is, and this is where people kind of have obfuscated the truth. Every time you hear this, this is where they supposedly are saying that Congress can now create an enforcement agency to enforce the law, these particular laws. However, that's not what they said. This was not the intent of this. This was possibly a sleight of hand. But the bottom line is that this right here is only allowing them to create the laws to do so. They cannot create enforcements. They cannot create any federal enforcement, period. Wow. Do you understand what that means? What that means is that they can't have an FBI. They can't have an IRS. They can't, but they're doing it because they convinced the states and the people to do so. So what do you do? Well, you have to get the states to actually put all these things on the table, and you have to get them to actually put on their, you know, big boy and big girl britches and actually, you know, say, okay, we've got some work to do, and actually start identifying all of these things that have to be gotten rid of. Because who in the Constitution actually has and is the only entity, because it's all about checks and balances, because they didn't get rid of this section of Section 8 in Article 1, that the militia shall execute the laws of the Union. This only says that they shall create appropriate legislation, and that means that they still have to go to the militia to execute those laws. Okay, so the 14th Amendment. Now, this one has got red and yellow all over it because it's just either being ignored or what have you, especially all of it. All persons born, this is the 14th Amendment, or what technically is the 15th Amendment. all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, the problem is that if you are born and your parents are United States citizens, then you too are going to be a U.S. citizen and you're entitled to citizenship. If your parents are subject to the jurisdiction of another nation, let's say your parents ran across a border somewhere like Canada and came down here and then had you, like Kamala Harris, and or, you know, anybody, and they weren't citizens when you were born, then they and their children, all of their children, are still under the jurisdiction of the nation where their citizenship lies, whether that be India, whether that be Canada. It doesn't matter. You are not a citizen. This is why this is all persons born or naturalized. In other words, they've gone through the process of naturalizing. They've immigrated and so forth in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So here's the hard part that most people don't get. We're slaves under the jurisdiction of the United States. Yep. Because we already had these little laws that protected both, you know, the slave owners and so forth. Slaves were actually under that jurisdiction because they also received representation, three-fifths. Three-fifths of them, of a person. So they didn't get a full representative, but they were still entitled to a fragment, which means that they were under the jurisdiction. So when you look at what this part of the amendment was strictly designed to make those who were naturally living here, whether they be slaves or even the Indians, they were able to become citizens. Now, I believe somewhere in here they do talk about apportionment and so forth with Indians not taxed, but that doesn't mean, because are Indians under the jurisdiction? Are they born here? They can be a U.S. citizen. And that's one problem that really needs to be fixed. But anyway, there's a reason why they have let this languish and become problematic, because it's another way to divide us, folks. It's just another way to do that. The next part of this is the most important part, which says, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of laws. Well, I don't think that was necessarily necessary, but okay. It's just a duplication, and it's nice that they included that. The most important part was right there above that, that no state shall make or enforce any laws which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. So when they started creating Jim Crow laws, when they started creating separate but equal laws, those laws were absolutely unconstitutional, because they were creating abridgments. Yeah, you could sit, but you couldn't sit together. You couldn't sit where you wanted to sit. You could be regulated in where to sit. No. First come, first serve is an American standard. Oh, but because of race, they cannot. There was nowhere in here where the Constitution allowed any state to actually use race to create laws to separate or divide, you know, race, period. There's nowhere in here. So this wraps up section one of the 14th Amendment. See, we're clipping along. And the rest of the 14th Amendment will probably take another day or two, because there's a lot of stuff in here. But we'll be back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.